Everyone came to a sudden halt. Even the Death Stalker's jaw dropped. Pooji hurried forward to bow to Harker, and then sat at his feet. Harker reached down and scratched the creature's head, and Pooji leaned against the man's knee with a long sigh. Home at last. Harker was a large man, more muscle than fat, with long white hair and a bushy white beard, and he wore the Santa Claus suit with quiet authority. He smiled warmly at his guests, a wide, welcoming, and very sane smile.
The Red Man. Father Christmas, I should have known.
What else did you expect on a world made for toys and children? Welcome to my home. I was beginning to think you'd never get here. Oh, please don't be concerned for your safety. My followers only ever act in self-defense. They're putting on a bit of a show at the moment because they're afraid you've come to take me away from them. Once they see you're no threat, they'll calm down again. At least, I'm assuming you're not a threat. Why have you come such a long and dangerous way to find me? You're not Imperial forces.
Definitely not.
Evangeline stepped forward and did her best not to notice all the weapons that moved to follow her.
We represent the underground movement on Golgotha, a growing army of clones and espers and those who believe in liberty and justice, dedicated to rebellion. We understand you possess valuable tactical information concerning the Empire's forces. We're here to ask you to share that knowledge with us.
Ask? That settles it. You're definitely not Empire troops. Come, sit down with me, and I'll tell you how I came to be here, and how I ended up as Santa Claus to a world of toys.
A group of soldier dolls brought chairs, and the newcomers sat down before Harker. The soldier dolls retreated backwards, keeping their eyes on the newcomers and their hands near their weapons. Harker and his guests both pretended not to notice. The chairs were surprisingly comfortable. Harker leaned back in his throne.
The toys built this for me. I didn't ask them to. Don't really believe in such things anymore. But they decided that as their leader, I was entitled to a throne. And they can be very stubborn about some things. So I go along with it to keep them happy. Sometimes I wonder who's really in charge here. Anyway, my story. When I crash-landed here, the war was still raging everywhere. Toy killing toy. Madness. Only newly brought to intelligence and life. And all they could do with it was kill and be killed. I saw the slaughter of toys and the death of innocents, and it changed me. Forever. When I worked for the Empire, they called me the Cold Man, because nothing ever touched me. I dealt in plans and strategies, turning raw data into schemes and tactics that would ensure the highest possible enemy losses and acceptable Empire losses. And if thousands, or sometimes millions of people died because of the decisions I made, I didn't care. I didn't see them. I didn't know them. They were just numbers. Then I came here to Summerland, and what I saw broke my heart. Because I saw the truth of what the toys really are now. The children. Young, innocent, betrayed by forces that gave them intelligence, then fed them only lies and hatred. The toys didn't understand what they were doing when they killed the humans. Shub manipulated them. So new to life, how could they really understand death? When they saw their status, their feelings were hurt. And they lashed out like angry children, like puppies that don't know that teeth can hurt. Afterward, when they saw what they had done, it drove many of them insane with guilt and horror. When I saw the death of their childhood and the betrayal of innocence in the name of war, I was horrified and sickened. For the first time, the numbers I dealt with so casually became real. For the first time, I cared. So I went out into the world of toys and walked among them, one human, alone and unarmed, bringing them a truth that they had never suspected, that they were the children now. I became Santa Claus because it was an image they could all understand, and I told them of the horrors of war and where it could lead as only I could. They heard the truth, and the guilt in my voice. And they believed. I wanted so desperately to save them from the horror of what I had become, and they could sense that too. I acquired disciples and followers, and many enemies. Toys who daren't believe me because of what they had done and continued to do in Chubb's name. Because my truth would mean they had made themselves into murderers and butchers for no good reason. And they would rather fight a war that had no end than believe that. So I brought my people here, into the forest, a place intended for forgiveness and rebirth, and sent my disciples out to carry my truth to the world of toys. As always, the message became scrambled as it passed from mouth to mouth. I became the Red Man. My followers became an army. And my message of peace became a threat to the world. But the truth is a hardy beast, and it persisted, bringing toys here to hear it for themselves. Slipping away from both sides in ones and twos, they came here for peace and absolution. And I did my best to give it to them. They are the true children of Shannon's world, and I am their Father Christmas. Who knows what they might become when they have grown into adults?
All this time and all this way, I've been following the wrong story. I should have known.
What are you going to do when the Empress finally loses her patience and sends an army down here to bring you back? Your followers are impressive, but they wouldn't last long against Imperial shock troops. You, of all people, should know that. If you were to come back with us, to the rebellion, we could hide you, protect you.
She trailed off. Harker was shaking his head firmly.
No, I'll never leave. I'm needed here, and I have so much to atone for. If an army ever comes, a rumor will cross the world of toys that I am dead. There'll even be a very convincing body to back it up. Eventually, the information in my head will become obsolete, and then no one will care about me anymore.
I can't help noticing that none of your people have lowered any of their weapons yet. Are they always this protective?
Mostly. They worship me, though I have asked them not to. I suppose it's only to be expected. I preach to them, tell them stories, try to bring them up to be all that they can be. They have enormous potential. Don't you find it staggering that so many of them rejected the Chubb programming on their own, without outside help or persuasion? Even though they were really only newly born children, they still knew right from wrong, the sanctity of life, and the horror of murder. They knew that all that lives is holy.
All that lives is holy.
The rumbled chorus came from all around them, like a litany. Halloweeny leaned forward in his chair.
Are you really Santa Claus?
Harker smiled.
I am, if anyone is.
Would you like to stay here with me, with us?
Oh, yes. I thought the forest was frightening at first, but it isn't. Not really. I could be a boy here, couldn't I? A real boy.
Of course.
You always were.
What will happen to the toys eventually, when they've given up their fear and become adults?
I don't know. These are the first independent AI minds since Chubb. They might become as human as us. Or given the state of humanity these days, they might not settle for so little. Perhaps the creations will outdo the creators.
That could be dangerous.
Stop thinking about Chubb. Things are different here. Besides, the toys are powered by energy crystals. Eventually they will run down, and then the toys will need new crystals. And the only place to get those is human space. The toys will need humans. And humans will always need toys. But that's the future. Lionstone must never know the secret of Hekeldama. She would look at my children and see only another Chubb in the making. She'd scorch this whole world rather than risk that.
Give us the tactical information you possess, and we'll keep Lionstone so busy she won't have time to think about Shannon's world. Once it's clear we know what you know, your information will become redundant. You won't be important to her anymore.
But you know my secret. Can I trust you to remain silent?
The underground has more important things to worry about than one basically neutral planet. As long as we come back with your information, no one will care where it came from. No one but us need ever know about Shannon's children.
They all looked at Toby.
It would have been great footage. But I guess it can stay on a shelf till it's finally safe to show it. Wouldn't be the first story I've helped to bury, right, Flynn? So, no one will ever know.
Wrong. The Empire will know, because I'll tell them. I'll tell them everything.
Julian stood up sharply, pushing back his chair, and the disruptor in his hand was trained unwaveringly on Harker. His face twisted with a smile that had no humor in it. His voice sounded strange, forced.
No one move, or Harker's dead. Before Finley rescued me, the Mind Techs planted one of Wormboy's worms deep in my brain, with hidden instructions to destroy any real threat to the Empire. Harker and his army have activated my worm and its programming. Get up, Harker. You're coming back to Lionstone with me. Anyone interferes, and I'll kill him right here.
All around, the toys lifted their weapons and then hesitated, unsure what to do that wouldn't lead to the death of their leader. Giles' hand went to his gun, but Finley put a hand on his arm, stopping him. They couldn't risk it.
Can you teleport him out of here?
No. His S blocks my powers. But I might well be able to shoot him before he can get off a shot. Let me try.
No. I want to try something first.
Finley raised his voice.
Julian, listen to me. I got you out of the interrogator's cell. You hadn't broken. You were too strong for them. Be strong now. Giles says your powers are greater now than they've ever been. Fight the worm. Fight it. Be your own self.
Julian frowned, his mouth working silently. The hand holding the disruptor began to shake. And then slowly, the fingers opened, and the gun fell to the ground. Toby pounced on it as Julian fell shuddering to his knees. Some of the toys aimed their weapons, but Harker stepped down from his throne to kneel beside the shaking Esper.
Help me. It's still in my head. It wants me to kill you. It always will. But I won't.
You can be free. You can.
Harker's head was down next to Julian's.
My children broke their programming. You can break yours. Be strong. All you have to do is believe.
Julian's back arched as a horrid pain coursed through him. His head snapped back, his face twisted in agony. His brief contact with Giles had filled him with more power than he'd ever known, and he drew on it all now, determined to be free, even if it killed him. His left eye slowly bulged forward, and out of the bloody eye socket oozed a small, gray worm, pushed out of the Esper's brain by the sheer force of his will. It fell squirming onto the ground, and Finley crushed it under his heel. Julian sank back into Harker's waiting arms. His eye sank back into its socket, and he managed a shaky smile.
Well done. I always knew you had it in you.
I'm half dead, and he's cracking jokes. Someone hit him for me.
They all laughed, even Julian, as they all took turns hitting Finley. And that was the end of their mission to Shannon's world, wrongly renamed Haseldama, the Field of Blood. The humans and the toys celebrated long into the night, singing and dancing in the light of many fires, the occasional stream of moonlight, and the thick clouds of glowing spirits who came swooping in out of the night with their endless song. Bruin Bear and the Sea Goat danced paw in hand around the fire and were content, knowing the truth about themselves at last. And Halloweeny, the little skeleton boy, sat on Harker's throne, drumming his bony heels against the wood, and dreamed of what it would be like to be more than just a boy.
Deathstalker War
is a Defiance Audio production. Copyright 1997, Simon R. Green. Directed by Rick Rowan and produced in the studios of the Cutting Corporation. Production copyright 2003, Listen and Live Audio Incorporated and the Cutting Corporation. The Deathstalker theme was composed and performed by Norman Vandersflies. If you enjoy Deathstalker, you'll want to check out our futuristic warfare series, Battletech. And for our complete catalog, call 1-800-653-9400.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.